Hello, everybody. I'm Tom Dorsey.
I'm Jay Gragnani.
It's October 8th, 2018. And.
Feels like August 8th.
Yeah, because it's still.
Because it's still hot and humid as all get out.
It's going to be in the 50s next week.
I know. Excited.
That's it. I mean, you're done. My
long,
shorts.
Long pants are coming out.
Long pants are coming out again. Maybe long sleeve shirts. I don't know. We'll see how it is. But you know what? Like, September and October always bother me. Because I've been around too long.
Yeah.
But if you look statistically, it's not always the case. So we roll into September, and part of my portfolio is at Schwab, where I do a lot of covered writing. So what I did is I heavied up on the options I sold. That was, I might be long 1,000 shares of stock and sold 20 calls against the position. So I'm naked 10 calls. And I want the deltas. So I want to create a delta neutral position. In other words, if you look at a rule of thumb with options, an at-the-money call has a delta of 0.5. 5 points out of the money, delta 0.25. 5 points in the money, delta 0.75. That allows you to arithmetically figure out how you want to construct a trade. So if I want to construct a trade, so I'm equal out of the box, I'm going to sell two calls to each 100 shares I have.
Okay.
Well, that's great because this takes you out of the box. But it doesn't take long when things begin to unravel and the bullish percents reverse down. And you can see things are happening because while you've been on the road, we talked about the bullish percent probably reversing down. It has. The OTC bullish percent, we talked about that exceeding a bottom in a column of O's. And small cap stocks, you know, getting the brunt of it. All of a sudden, these stocks begin to go against you. And that delta contract. So you start out even. Next thing you know, you're 5 points out of the money and you have a 0.25 delta. Then you're a little further out of the money and the stock's going down. And now you don't have much. You look at the position, the stock's down 3 points in a particular day and you're not up much in the option because you're too far out of the money. So it takes a constant adjustment. But for customers that are in a covered writing program, the way to do that is one-on-one. You can't be naked, you know, because then you don't have the long stock for it. And I would go out, I would buy the stock, sell the call, go out 90 days, and start a program just like a laddered bond portfolio, in which every month something is coming off. That way you'll never get the market high, never get the market low, and you don't have to worry about things beginning to unravel. Because what's happened here is the small cap stocks have unraveled.
Well, and that's, you know, when you see like the bullish percent reversing down with Friday's action, bullish percent reverses down on the New York down to 52. Just by head count, what you tend to see happening, while the indexes might not reflect what's going on underneath the surface, a lot of the individual stocks and just by head count, small caps make up a big chunk of that bullish percent for the New York. And so, you know, that reversal down, you know, we've certainly seen some small caps lag. If you look at just year-to-date returns, small caps by and large are continuing to outperform the S&P 500 in other areas. But if you look at last quarter and really the month of September, small caps lagged the performance of large caps going through that month of September. A month that you mentioned, you know, historically is a very bad month for the market, which on the surface, it wasn't. And on the surface, the S&P 500 was up during the month of September, but underneath the surface, there were some things happening there, small caps beginning to underperform there. And you now see a lot of these bullish percent indicators, the New York, the OTC, the BPMU zero as well, that reversed down back into a column of O's, and you know, certainly suggesting that a number of individual stocks are moving to sell signals, and suggesting it's now, you know, that shift from wealth accumulation to wealth preservation, or moving a little bit more defensive in terms of play selection now.
Yeah, when you look at let's look at indexes themselves. If we look at the S&P indexes, Vanguard types. If you look at the Vanguard S&P mid cap 400 growth, year to date it's up 5%. But if I look at the Vanguard S&P Small Cap 600, it's up 13.25%.
Yeah.
And the Vanguard Small Cap 600, that was growth, up 13.25. S&P 600, just itself, not growth or value, up 10. And if I look at the S&P Small Cap Value, up 5.33. So that shows you right there, growth has been the play, value has not been the play, And you have come down here, let's see, over the last, well, I've got years to date. I don't have months. But what you have seen is the small caps coming in, contracting, and the S&P 500 growth still up the most, 13.61. Mm-hmm. That's S&P 500 cap weight growth.
Cap weight, yeah. Yeah, but yeah, like you said, I mean, growth really across the board this year has been where all of the leadership has come from.
Look at S&P 500 value. S&P 500 value is up 1.7 year to date.
Yeah, it's lagging. So you said the S&P 500 is up roughly 8%.
Yeah.
And, you know, you think about the value stocks this year, I mean, it's been, and you think of kind of where they concentrate in terms of sectors, a lot of value stocks are seen in sectors like utilities, sectors like consumer staples, sectors like REITs. You know, those have been the areas that have underperformed, and that showed up certainly in the value side of things, where growth has been the area that has outperformed. And if you look at Dolly, you go into Dolly and you look at the U.S. equity sleeve, drill down into the details, the top three style boxes, small cap growth, large cap growth, mid cap growth are the top three style boxes in there. Large cap value is number nine.
That's because that's because they've done so well this year, but they've started giving up.
Yeah, you've seen some of them underperform. Like I said, really, the past month, last quarter, you've seen some of that underperformance.
Yeah, what's interesting is when you put that, you put the all of the indexes like Vanguard indexes, mid cap growth, mid cap value, mid cap eco weight, put them all into a portfolio. And then look at the charts. And you, when you look at those charts, you're going to see where the small cap has begun to turn over.
Yeah. You're scrolling through some thumbnails now.
You look at the Vanguard S&P Small Cap 600 ETF. This is the growth. Mm-hmm. Look at that pullback. Yeah. It was a high of 178 and it's pulled back to 164.
Yeah, and that's where you're seeing a lot of them now, kind of down at the bottom of those trading bands.
Yep.
On the small cap growth side. So seeing that correction, that pullback in the small cap growth area, has seen a lot of those things now move to the oversold side of their ledger with respect to their weekly distributions. As we're now, you know, just about a week into the month of October, and you mentioned it as beginning, October scares you.
Yeah.
And there's good reason for it. There's been a lot of bad things that have happened, you know, historically in Octobers. And I've read a number of articles, you know, that suggest and call October the jinx month. And it's the jinx month because of years like 1987, when you had the crash of 87. You had, you know, 1929. You had other years in there. 1997, you had a major event in the market. The Dow was down 500 and some odd points. And that was back in 97 during the month of October. And so there's a lot of these things that do happen in the month of October. And there are also times when we do see a lot of indicators end up bottoming out in the months of October. And so you're seeing stuff roll over here at the beginning of the month. We'll certainly see what happens. But because the month right after it is November. And November historically starts what is known as a seasonally strong period in the market. So we'll see how the indicators play out, things like bullish percents and the likes. That we're seeing all of those things reverse down now, and so we'll see how those play out over the course of this month.
You know what I happened to notice this weekend as I was going through the charts? The DWAS plus the XSLV, that's the low volatility small cap.
That's momentum small cap and low vol small cap combined.
Combined.
Yeah.
And then seasonally adjusted.
Oh, yeah.
So that when it's sell and man go away, you go 70%. The low volatility,
right?
Excuse me, 30% high volatility, and reverse that. That's done really well
so far this year. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's interesting. Well, and that's, you know, the momentum piece of that is that's kind of your growth side, and you do get a lot of the growth. And we looked at, you know, some small cap growth stuff this year that you got a lot of the growth, you know, up until about April, and then you've had a more overweight towards some of the small cap, low volatility names right now. And so that is an interesting model. And those are models on our site. You can go in and look at those models by that ticker symbol that you just said.
That's where I'd be.
Yeah.
I would be utilizing these models and let the system run it for you. In today's day and age, it makes absolutely sense, because if you accept the relative strength and momentum way of investing, then your job is simply to get the customers and explain to the customers what's going on and why you do what you do, and then let the system run it itself.
Yeah.
That's why I've said you can run a billion-dollar portfolio on a cruise ship with an iPhone. I mean, that's
yeah,
there today.
Yeah. The technology's all there. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So I was just looking at the that DWA XSLV. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's up over 7% this year by doing that. So another month, another few weeks, and we'll shift it back towards the growth or momentum side of the equation. You know, and that, you know, that coincides with the market seasonality where sell and main go away. You overweight the low vol stocks in the portfolio that historically provide a little bit more stability during the months of the year that tend to be weaker. And then you overweight growth in the portfolio during the months of the year that tend to generate more excess return and tend to favor growth. And that makes
sense in itself. You know, I mean, when you're managing portfolio and you're doing modern portfolio theory and you've got some models out to the side, that's a great explanation to a customer of what you're doing. And, I mean, I don't think you can get any better than that and still drive a straight line.
Yeah, I think so. And it's not only the U.S. side. We've done that. This is small cap specifically we're talking about. You could do it similarly on the international side with like PIE mm-hmm. and the emerging market low volatility.
EELV.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. I was struggling for the ticker symbol. And then PIZ with IDLV. That's emerging as the first set, and then developed ex-U.S. would be the second set. Similar types of ideas, though, and they're going to overweight growth or momentum during the seasonally strong periods, overweight low volatility during the seasonally weak periods, and it could be truly a global portfolio there.
And let's leave with this one thing. You remember the guy in Washington State that would always send me a letter? When the bullish percent reverses down into O's, sometimes it takes so long for it to actually get that third O. A lot of stocks have already gone on sell signals, and the market is ready for a reversal.
Mm-hmm.
And you get that reversal back up. And then I would get a letter from somebody. He's never put his name on it. I get a letter saying how stupid we are. And for some reason, I haven't gotten a letter in a couple years. But it was never signed. It comes from Washington State.
Keep a lookout for it.
So yeah, I'm going to keep a lookout because the bullish percent reversed down. Yeah. If things rally up now, we're going to get that letter.
Yeah, absolutely.
I love the letter. I should have kept them all. At any rate, we'll see you next week.